Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. Our Sunday worship is on site and online at 9:30 a.m., and you can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcast platforms. What you're about to hear is our Easter sunrise service that we have at Daniels Park, and Pastor Jordan preaches a sermon called Roll That Stone, and the scripture comes from Mark 16, 1 through 8. Well, is everybody keeping warm this morning? Everybody good? Nice and toasty? There's no snow, that's good, yes. I came up here on Friday to just check it out and see if it wasn't muddy, because this could probably get a lot muddy with snow, so very blessed that we are here today. Our message today is titled, Roll That Stone, because the stone that was in front of the tomb, as the Marys were going towards the tomb, they said, who's going to move that for us? It was an obstacle for them, right? And I think there's two different things within our scripture for today that I want to touch on this morning for us. First is stones and the part that stones play throughout scripture and different parts of it. And then also how the Gospel of Mark ends. So stones pop up in different parts of scripture and can represent different things. In the Old Testament, Jacob made a stack of stones in the place where he wrestled God to commemorate that he met God in that place, and that when people would come by and see that stack of stones, they would also know that God was in this place. And then in Jesus's ministry, stones were used to put people to death. And he stopped a stoning of a sex worker and tells everyone ready to bring punishment on her, those without sin cast the first stone. Stones here represented our need for violence and our sense of our own justice, but Jesus disarms those stones that we so tightly hold on to. In our scripture today, the stone that blocked the entrance of Jesus' tomb, we read that exchange between the two Marys. They were saying to each other, who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us? And when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. And it was a very large stone, as it makes a comment in there in the scripture. The stone is going to be this obstacle for the Marys. And our world has many stones that we all cling tightly to. In our human experience, there's no such thing as a world free of revenge. Both our inner and our worlds are structured for blame. Nobody wants to take responsibility. We blame each other. It makes life make sense in a satisfactory way. If I'm never responsible and everybody else is to blame, then I'm okay. Yet the Christian tradition claims that Easter inaugurates this world free of the need for revenge. It's a down payment on a world structured for mercy according to a new pattern laid down by an innocent who returns without blame for the guilty and who does not require satisfaction or scapegoats and whose love for us pours out from the empty tomb. So if Easter is true in this way, it carries a powerful ethical and political charge. It prevents a way of relationship, intimate and global, that is a far cry from the age-old score-settling way of mayhem. In other words, it changes everything for us. No wonder it inspired fear in the two women who came to the tomb, and even revulsion in the first disciples. They wanted Jesus to do something different. They wanted Jesus to bring a revolution, a political revolution, a war to topple the Roman Empire. Just like them, we would all feel better if we got punished, and we would all feel better if we keep on punishing. The charge, though, in this text is different. And sooner or later, as the women in Mark's account eventually did, we'll stop being traumatized by such love and begin to speak of it boldly. Delivering the awful good news of reconciliation to every person out there who believes things cannot be helped or may never change. That memories and politics and families cannot be healed. That a cowardly screw-up can never again be worthy of love. And that we are doomed to die in our sins as God looks on with righteous satisfaction. But Easter says, not so. Not so. So I think metaphorically, we all have stones that we hold on to, right? We all have stones that we're ready to cast on others, to cast on ourselves, ones that we carry around in our own pockets. These stones are often manifested in our own traumas throughout our life. Maybe your stones are fears that you won't be accepted, that you're not good enough, because those are the messages you have heard throughout your life. Maybe it's doubts you have about your purpose or relationships you have. Maybe it's the burdens that you carry. Maybe you have so many stones that you are just weary. Maybe you love to cast stones because the things you see in others that upset you are things that you see within yourself and you don't like. And by casting stones, you make yourself feel better, but only for a fleeting moment. So going back to the scripture, the stone was going to be an obstacle in the way for the women, but it was suddenly rolled away. In this miracle of the resurrection, we see that the stones are no longer an obstacle for our faith. If we choose to live into the freedom we have in the new life that Jesus offers us. I'm going to take a couple seconds for us to just kind of reflect on our own stones that we carry, especially stones that block us from the life in Jesus that is awaiting us. When I reflect on this, I remember during college and seminary that I went through years worth of training and scripture reading, history, Christian history, and I was realizing that the stones that I clung to, and slowly over the years, even to now, I'm learning to let them roll away. My faith was built on pride, ego, and being right. Faith wasn't an experience of grace and love, but instead it was having the right answers, having the right beliefs. The challenge in seminary was this. When I learned about Christian history and theology, there's a vast diversity of beliefs and thoughts, which kind of rocked my world as a young boy coming from small town farming Iowa. I mean, I knew that other Christians had different beliefs, but I was right, not them. And so these ideas and learning about the history of Christianity, of theology, started to challenge me. It became clear that more of my beliefs connected with my cultural upbringing than from Scripture, and I began to be humbled. I began to realize that having right beliefs was just a way of giving myself a sense of certainty, trying to know that I am okay with God, that my position with God was good because I was doing all the right things and believing all the right things. I was a slave to my stones, and I clung to them so tightly. But freedom came from the opening of my hands and trusting in the grace of God. There's no way I'd be able to get everything right. Once you learn about the vast history and how Christianity has changed over time, there's no way none of us have it all right. And so what do you do with that then? And for me, the answer was, you trust in the grace of God. And when I did this, it opened up a whole new life of possibilities, revealing just how shackled I was before. I was simply going to do my best to live a life like Jesus, study scripture, to come to conclusions about my own beliefs, and accepted that what I believe maybe could be wrong, and that was okay, because there is grace. So that's about stones. The other part of the scripture, the ending, one of the things you may not know that we don't talk about much is Mark actually ends with this scripture. There is more in Mark, but that was added later on. And so the book of Mark ends with these two women being fearful. And we don't actually see a physical resurrection of Jesus. We don't have the ascension in Mark. And it's very open-ended. Have you ever seen a movie, read a book, or any story that ends open-ended? Isn't that frustrating? Right? You want that clean conclusion. You want to feel good and know that the story is done. We don't want ambiguous endings. Yet here we are in the Gospels with one. Surely there's different ways to end a story. One way is to offer a neat conclusion, leaving no loose ends. But another way is an open-ended narrative, where the reader can be said to finish the story from their own point of view and incorporate their own experience. A sense of incompleteness to the story clearly reflects the trust that is God who is at work. God is not done with the Christian community yet. And is God ever done? It says that God was at work in Jesus and is still working through Jesus. Therefore, any sense of completion, any expectation that all things must and will come to fruition lies in God and God alone, not us. It says in the scripture, go to Galilee and wait. The best of the Christian faith and message is forward-looking and forward-moving. The future is God's, and God does things from the future that burst into our present. Just like in Jesus' resurrection, God working in the present moment from the vantage point of the future, God raised Jesus as God will do with all the dead in Christ. So on this Easter morning, as we celebrate this empty tomb together, what stones in your own life that you need to roll away, that are an obstacle for you in living in the freedom of Christ? In my experience with going through seminary and growing in my faith and realizing the things that I held on to, I thought I was experiencing freedom in Christ by being a quote-unquote believer. But really, when I let go of these stones and being right and living into the grace of God, that's when I truly experienced the freedom that we have in Christ. That no longer I had to worry about having the right beliefs or the right answers, but instead that I need to live into the grace that God gives us and do our best along the way. The story doesn't end with the resurrection, but is a pinpoint to which everything changes, and now the future is open-ended, that God is continuing to build and be ahead of us, and sometimes we're just catching up. With the future ever open, yet is trustingly inviting, the God who did a new thing in Jesus is the one who is working a future for you, for me, and for the world in Jesus. I believe that's the hope we celebrate this morning together. May we all roll the stones that become an obstacle to living into the freedom of Christ that we are offered. Because the future is being prepared for us, and it's all done in grace. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. If you want to know more about New Hope, you can subscribe to our weekly email newsletter, The Midweek Memo, by going to our website and signing up. Friends, may you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and may you go and love your neighbor as yourself. Go in peace.